With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch and I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Andrew Unterberger.
How's it going, Joe?
It's going good. So we are in the post-Halloween 2018.
Well, are we ever really post-Halloween, though? Yeah, it just keeps going.
We're pre-Halloween 2019,
there we go.
Basically. How were your Hallows Eves?
Spooky.
Let's talk a little bit about our costumes first.
Sure.
So all of us did dress up. Some, you know, maybe put a little more effort than others. I'm looking at Lindsay.
No shade, yeah.
Thank you.
Andrew, you did a very, you had to like put yours together in like basically overnight, right? Did Justin Bieber eating the burrito.
Well, yes, except it's not actually Justin Bieber, as it turns out.
It turned out
halfway through my costume acquiring process. Yeah, on Friday, I was joking to Lindsay about coming to her birthday party dressed as Justin Bieber eating the burrito sideways. And then as I was thinking about it, I was like, damn it, I actually have to do this, I think. It's very rare for me to come up with a costume that both like fits my like standard of obscurity and is also like achievable in some way.
Right. So, and that's like topical too.
It's topical, yeah. So that one checked all the boxes. And I was very prepared for nobody to get it, but clearly Billboard was like the right audience for it. People seemed to appreciate it. On the streets it was about 50-50, but I definitely had one woman come up to me and be like, hey, where's your burrito? And like it was the one time of the night that I actually wasn't holding the burrito, and so I just sort of gestured across the room. I was like, it's over there somewhere, trust me. But yeah, I would say it's probably one of my more successful weird costumes.
I feel like 50-50 costume recognition is like a huge success rate.
Oh,
honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is, totally.
Yeah.
Talk about your costume, because I want to note that Andrew and Joe were neck and neck for our Halloween contest here.
That's true. Controversial decision.
I think the right lady won.
No shame in getting beaten by the best, certainly.
I dressed up as a surprise I've never done before, Madonna, circa 1983, so self-titled Madonna.
Amazing.
I had the fishnets, I had a lovely little skirt, I did jean jacket, I had a blonde wig and like a bow, or rather scarf tied as a bow in it, and of course all the neck chains and wearing two different belts.
It was very well done.
Bunch of bracelets and crucifixes wrapped around my fishnet gloves.
Yeah.
It was fun.
You got more than 50-50 probably in terms of recognition. I think most people pretty much clocked you right away.
Yeah, I think this was definitely the most recognizable Halloween costume I've had. Usually I'll have people like either guess it wrong or close. In fact, everyone guessed it. The only person who got it wrong, someone said, and they technically still got it right. They were like, oh, are you suddenly Susan? And I was like, I assume you don't mean the TV show Suddenly Susan, but you mean Desperately Seeking Susan, which is your way of saying Madonna. Well, so
I thought you were going to say that somebody came up to you and said, oh, you're 1984 Madonna. And you were like, oh, sorry.
That's what I
can't
exactly.
accept that.
Like, nope. Try again.
Buzzer. Yeah.
No, it was really fun. And I like, now that I bought those pieces, I'm like probably going to wear a few of them.
Staple items for sure.
In my regular.
It's a key component of every Halloween costume. You want to get at least one item that you can use for the rest of the year, too.
Yes, absolutely.
That's true. If you're going to, I was Georgie from It last year, and that's just my raincoat now, basically. And it's like a pretty decent raincoat.
Yeah.
So I'm not angry about it.
And what about you, Lindsay?
I just go the route of use what I have. So I wore a green jacket and a hat with some leaves on it, and I was a tree. And then I put my deer stuffed animal sloth on my arm. So that added, you know, some extra fun to the costume because I wasn't just a tree.
It's a tree with a sloth in it.
You're a tree exactly. with a sloth on it, yeah.
Exactly.
And you are a big sloth fanatic, so.
Some might say, yes.
Yeah. And what was your recognition ratio?
Everyone had to ask me what I was.
Well, yep. It seems like it's like a reference to something, like a TV show, like an Australian TV show maybe, but yeah. Not.
And, you know, maybe it is.
Maybe,
but...
sure.
But if it is, you're not
I sure don't know, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, so yeah. So happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy
post Halloween.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dig in with music. We have Carly Rae Jepsen, new Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes.
Finally.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those things that like we / pop fans have been like talking about for the entire year. Like, when is mm-hmm. new CRJ going to come out? And we have Party of One.
Party 4-1.
Party 4-1, excuse me.
Excuse me, Joe. Yeah.
No, I appreciate the correction. I don't want the Carly Rae Jepsen's...
to come for you.
Yeah, anyways, so yes, Party 4-1. Here's the thing. So it sort of reminds me of, like, a bit of the Robin issue, like, where,
yes.
like, expectations are just, like, sky high, and, like, could this song ever meet those expectations?
Yeah.
The answer is probably no, because I feel like Cut to the Feeling, which was the last new Carly we got... is maybe her best song ever.
Really?
Like,
you're going best song ever on that.
I really might. Like, I feel like Runaway With Me was my number one for her, and I think it's leapfrogged past that. It's just,
wow.
And it could be because, you know, just the whole Sing soundtrack is so fantastic. It benefits from that.
I appreciate that.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea what else is on the Sing soundtrack. But yeah, so Party 4-1, you know, it's not her best song ever, but that being said, this is still, you know, like head and shoulders above most pop that people are making.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that it's interesting, the kind of like the keys at the beginning, there's sort of like a nervous expectancy to them that reminds me a bit of the Call Me Maybe strings. And there's some fun little touches, like the music like cuts out for a bit and you hear like drumsticks clacking at a couple places. It's just, you know, it's what she does, which is like, you know, like pure pop that isn't hip with the radio right now.
Yeah.
It's unexpectedly hip with, you know, more like indie audiences, more so than mainstream audiences. Lyrically, there's some good lines in here. I'm assuming this is a female masturbation song. It seems like
it appears that way.
You know, in the grand tradition of Cyndi Lauper's She Bop, Madonna's Secret, Hailee Steinfeld's Love Yourself.
So you better be recognizing Hailee in that list.
Don't worry, I'm not leaving Hailee out of it. And it's good. I mean, you know, it's not quite as maybe explicit or like cheeky lyrically as any of those songs, but you know, it's a clear enough reference. But what do you guys think of this?
I thought it was really fun. That's kind of the only thing I can add to it. It's definitely, you know, a lot of the talk I was seeing online is about how it's her showing she's grown up now, which in my eyes, I don't really think she had to do.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, maybe most people don't know, but like she's like in her early 30s.
Yeah,
like, there's no
exactly.
part of me that's like, when is Carly gonna grow up?
Totally. And maybe that was more so with the music video than the song itself, but that one threw me off. But yeah, I mean, overall expectations were very high. I think she did meet them as best as she could, and it's a fun song.
Andrew, I know you've got thoughts on this.
I like the song a lot, actually. I think it's been, for me personally, like exactly the right amount of time since the emotion wave finally started to crest a little bit. Like, that's obviously, it's a great album. I don't like worship at the altar of emotion the
yeah.
way many of our peers do. I think it's, you know, it's great, but it's not, to me, it's not that kind of like unimpeachable, you know, singular masterpiece sort of thing that it's kind of gotten treated as the last few years. But there are a lot of great songs on it, and this is another one. It's really, you know, it's perfectly composed. The production's right on point. And obviously a very proud legacy of masturbation pop songs. I'd also like to throw in one from the male perspective, Billy Idol's "Dancing with Myself," which I think she kind of vaguely alludes to in the chorus in a couple
yeah.
spots, and is one of my personal favorites. So, yeah, good job, Carly Rae.
I know you have some issues with the cover art, though.
I do have some issues with the cover art, where it looks like she's sitting on like a an ice cube that's maybe also a toilet, and she maybe has her hands handcuffed behind her back. She looks very frightened. It's an absolutely awful single cover.
I think it's kind of, I kind of like her look on it, like her outfit at least.
It's not a bad look, but whoever was like the creative director of that shot maybe needs to reassess
not
his
into
life
the
priorities
ice cube
a little
toilet.
Bit. No, not into
I'm
the
not
cube
convinced
toilet.
It is a toilet, but
maybe not a
I
toilet,
need
but
to
it's
see
definitely
a blow up of it. Yeah,
right.
It certainly is.
Looking at her phone, look at
it
right now. It's a very strange image, and I guess maybe I don't know. It's eye catching. That's half the battle, I suppose, but not the right kind of eye catching. I don't personally think.
How
does one find album art?
Yeah, Google.
Yeah, right.
Art,
anyways, yeah. We'll discuss how Google works.
I got it.
Anyways, all right. Well, let's listen to it. It's Carly Rae Jepsen, "Party for One," a new song from hopefully a new Carly album coming probably 2019. If you don't care about me, I'll just dance for myself, back on my beat. I'll be the one, if you don't care about me, making love to myself, back on my beat. You don't want my love, if you don't care about me, I'll just dance for myself, back on my beat. Party for one. That was new Carly. What do you think of it now that you've looked at it?
Kind of weird.
All right. So that's
it's a choice, you know? It's all
kind of weird. Yeah.
She's wearing like a schoolgirl costume, too.
Right. Maybe she's not growing up.
Yeah. I'm conflicted.
Anyways, well, let's go to one of your picks, Lindsay. So we've got King Princess. You're in the staunchly indie mode this week.
I sure am. Back in full force. But yeah, another lady anthem here.
Yeah.
Pussy is God is the title of her new single. So I don't know if this is a one-off or maybe she's putting out an album soon, but that would be pretty quick to follow the EP that she released. But yeah, I'm very happy that she put this out. I think it's sort of in line more with Janelle Monáe's Pink from this year. And also, weirdly following suit for Ariana Grande's God is a Woman, just this concept of like worshiping being a woman and the things that come with that. And I'm very much here for that. I think that's a really fun thing for someone like King Princess, who's like a young indie artist, to sort of hop on that train too. And it's a great song. I think the production is amazing, specifically around like the 1 minute and 15 second mark for those listening at home. it gets really interesting there. I just like what's going on.
And she's pretty new. Why don't you talk about her a little bit?
Yeah. So she put out, I think her EP was called Make My Bed a few months ago. We did a chart breaker with her here in Billboard Mag. But yeah, she's just, you know, an indie pop artist from, I think she was born and raised in Brooklyn. And
she's like 19, right? She's like very young.
She's definitely, I don't think she's 20 yet. Let's go with 19. Her breakout hit was 1950, which is a really fun song about, and this is straying from the song I'm talking about, but it's about how she's a young gay artist and unrequited love with people not wanting to be openly gay with her in public. Mm-hmm. Sort of how back in 1950, people could not be who they wanted to be and be with the people they wanted to be publicly.
Right.
So very smart young artist that we have here.
Yeah, no, I think this is an absolutely perfect song.
Yeah,
and she already had one this year, as we mentioned, with 1950. I think that's one of the great love songs of this decade, maybe. Mm-hmm. But even that one was kind of, you know, stately and sort of old fashioned, obviously from the title.
Right.
It wasn't this explicit or this kind of sensual. And this song, I think, yeah, as you mentioned, the production's incredible. Mm-hmm. The vocal sample's great. The hook is great. Those bass pops, which she's actually playing the bass herself in the video. I don't know if that's real or not, but very cool. And I was looking at the credits to this. Do you know who co-wrote this song?
I do not.
That's her real life girlfriend, Amanda Sternberg.
Star. Oh, really?
Star of Hate U Give and a couple
that's
other.
That's pretty awesome,
movies.
Actually.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Rue from the Hunger Games.
That's right, yes. Rue from the Hunger Games. And so, yeah, a little real life synergy there. And I think it's fantastic. I think give it all the Grammys, give it all the VMAs.
That's really cool. I didn't realize her real life girlfriend wrote it. Yeah. That's awesome.
Co-wrote it with her.
Co-wrote it, yeah.
And one other person.
Huh. That is really cool.
And also,
credits are so cool.
Yeah, co-produced by a guy I never heard of before named Mike Malchikoff, who I looked up and did. He's been the engineer on a bunch of Kanye's recent releases and some of the other like, good music family stuff. So she's working with the big guns now, and it's paying off.
It shows, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I love this. It's fantastic. it's, you know, I like the layered vocals and like the looped clip vocal. Like, there's just a lot of interesting production stuff being done, which mm-hmm. I guess is not surprising if we've got someone who, you know, was of the caliber of working with Kanye West on it. And, you know, like lyrically and musically, it's a very solid, lovely, well-constructed pop song. I was just reading like interviews with her. It's just interesting. Excuse me. Getting over a cold here, guys. Uh-huh. You know, and I guess this is like typical of a lot of young people, but like the influences she names, like she talks about like how like T-Rex and Led Zeppelin are like her touchstones, and like you hear like none of that in this music.
Well, but in some of the feel of it, I guess
maybe a little T-Rex acoustic.
Yeah, I can sort of see it
momentarily.
Sort of hear it rather.
But that makes me very curious. You know, I mean, I love both of those bands too. Mm-hmm. So I would be very curious, like in the future, are we going to hear her, you
what
know, branch out
do?
Into stuff that might, yeah, that might like, you know, rock a little more or kind of like go into that like existential psychedelia. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, this is a larger conversation, but on that point, I think what we keep seeing with artists like now King Princess, Billie Eilish, is that they actually like who they grew up listening to and who they love almost means nothing for the kind of music that they make.
Yeah.
Which is, it's cool. Like the whole genre-less thing is, I think, very real, especially with this young crop of artists.
Yeah.
I do want to shout out one specific lyric in this song where she says, I think star signs mean nothing. As somebody who doesn't really find a place in the current wave of astrology sort of sweeping the culture, it's good to see that kind of perspective checked on a hit song like this.
Yes, you're well represented. Yes.
She's not wrong.
Astrology and agnostics represent. Thank you, King Princess.
We bow to you, Princess. All right, well, let's listen to it. It's King Princess. Song is called Pussy is God, and here it is.
Your pussy is God and I love it. Gonna kiss me real hard, make me want it. I think star signs mean nothing, but I know you feel right, so I'm coming. Gets hard when you're getting up, knocked down from some other lover. Their best wasn't good enough, and you're number one to me. You're extra special, something else, or maybe it's you.
All right, that was King Princess. Great pick, Linz.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Let's switch it up to Kidding, featuring Rich the Kid. No budget. This is an Andrew pick.
Certainly is. And I should start off the bat by saying I don't 100% love this song. I don't want to say it's
right,
like
a
complete
strong opener.
Strong opener,
yeah.
Sure.
Maybe he
and I'm not a huge fan of either artist. I've often referred to Kid Ink as sort of a poor man's Tyga, which is not a great starting point to begin with. But
it could get worse.
Yeah.
Just saying. This has obviously been a very big comeback year for Tyga, and looks like Kid Ink might also kind of be going along this path. And there's just a couple things I wanted to talk about with this song. The first is the beat, which is just an absolute monster. Like it's co-produced by Murda Beats, Q Beats, and Bongo, by the way. I don't know the last one, but the first two have been kind of the two of the bigger producers this year. Been on like you know 6ix9ine's Fifi and Drake's Nice for What, Sicko Mode by Travis Scott. So pretty heavy hitters at this point. And the beat is, sounds like nothing I've ever heard on a hip hop record before. It's like Kendrick Lamar's Humble if it was produced by like the industrial metal band Ministry. It's just really just grinding and brutal beat. And it works, I think, for the song, which is pretty cool. I also wanted to talk about the lyric, she brought her best friend, I turned them into lesbians, which obviously is not how sexuality works. It's in fact, I think, a great self-own. I think he means it as like a brag, like, oh, I got these two chicks to make out with each other. But really, it means like I was so terrible that they turned their sexuality to turn away from me.
It's more like that like Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like, oh, these so bad that, yeah. Which, again, not how sexuality works.
George Costanza
moment,
sure.
Yeah.
But the real reason I want to talk about this song, like the big thing for me, is that it has my favorite thing that's been a recurring sample in music this year, which is the sound of the money counting machine, where you can hear like the flipping bill sound and then it ends with that beep at the end. And it's been in Migos' Open It Up, Nipsey Hussle's Last Time That I Checked, J. Cole's ATM.
Last time that I checked, check. It was five chains on my neck.
We trying to rob, that's just how we mob. Lead that to the,
count it up, count it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Little through thread for 2018 hip hop, and I've been digging that. So, what did you guys think of the song that I mostly endorse?
I loved it. Yeah, I mean, I think to shout out another line that's pretty goofy. I just hit her with the B when she's talking about a plan. I was like, love it. Love a little plan B joke.
Sure.
Classy.
Yeah, no, I think the beat, yeah, is really like what sells this. I mean, they sound like they're having fun and they're doing like totally do a good job on it, but. It like hits hard, but there's like a buoyancy to it. It's like still super fun. Mm-hmm. It's like as much as it like slams. Yeah, it has a groove to it. And like even when like parts of it seem ominous, it's almost more like someone like playing pretend at sounding ominous. I don't know. it's good. Yeah, it's a real fun. Like this is because of the beat. This is something that I could just like listen to over and over and over. I think it's great. Big thumbs up for me.
Wow. Okay. I'm more with Andrew on this one. Pretty lukewarm. I think
Andrew's more than lukewarm.
Yeah, I'm a little more than lukewarm, but I have my qualifications. Sure.
I think this is a great song, but I don't see myself revisiting it necessarily. There's something very familiar about the beat that I couldn't place.
Okay.
I don't know if either of you have. Any idea?
Well, it kind of has that thudding piano sound from Humble and a couple other songs this year, like Look Alive by Blockboy JB. Like that sort of piano sound, I think, is kind of in vogue right now.
Yeah.
Pianos are so hot right now.
Yeah, piano's big instrument right now in 2018. But, you know, the distortion on it's kind of new. And, yeah, the sheer menace of it is sort of unfamiliar to me. So.
Yeah. The beat was interesting. Rich the Kid's verse is actually what I liked the best. Like I found myself feeling excited when he came on, that it was something a little new to the track. Mm-hmm. But other than that,
yeah.
Shrug.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. That's fine.
A shrug from the tree with a sloth hanging off of it. But all right, let's listen to it. So it's Kidding featuring Rich the Kid, No Budget. Do for budget. Hit that, whoa, whoa, whoa. V12 bust it. AP bust it. Ain't no budget. Money talk, money talk. In the discussion, real one bustin', do for budget. Hit that, whoa, whoa, whoa. V12 bustin', AP bustin', ain't no budget. Money talk, money talk. In the discussion. All right, that was No Budget. Next up, let's take it to AARP territory.
All right.
This is my
excited for this one, Joe.
This is my pick. There is a new Barbra Streisand album out. It's called
As We All Know.
As We All Know. It is very, as is her wont, focused on hating Trump. I mean, this is not the full album, but, you know, she's even said in interviews, I even did an interview with her 20 minutes on the phone, best
what?
20 minutes of my life. You know, she was basically, because of, you know, her detesting what, you know, Trump has done in terms of kind of like, you know, not just like political moves, but, you know, let's say like taking down the sense of civility in politics and culture and, you know, whatever. So she's disgusted by him. She's not a fan. The album is called Walls, a very pointed reference to the wall.
To Pink Floyd, sure, yeah.
To Roger Waters. And Don't Lie to Me is the lead single, which is, you know, a total Trump diss. I picked, though, she did a mashup of Imagine, the John Legend song, and What a Wonderful World, which everyone knows.
John Lennon?
Did you say John Legend?
Sorry, I couldn't let that one pass either.
John Lennon.
I didn't even realize it.
It's a good thing you have me on here to fact check you on this show.
And What a Wonderful World, which everyone knows best from the Louis Armstrong version. So this is, you know, obviously combining these songs has a political motive, but it's more universal than specific. What I actually really like about this, and admittedly, like, is this going to, you know, become a regularly rotated song on a playlist for me? I don't know about that. But Imagine and What a Wonderful World are two songs that I almost, like, never need to hear another cover of. Like,
yeah.
They're both, like, endlessly done, and I think especially with Imagine, like, the lyrics are so powerful that people sing it and assume that the lyrics will do the heavy lifting and just, like, don't even bother to give a decent vocal performance. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very common thing with covers of that song. But Barbara Streisand obviously is one of the greatest vocalists ever, certainly of the 20th century. Her voice is still, maybe it's not everything that it used to be, but it's, like, damn near close, and it sounds pretty fantastic on this. And I'm a sucker for really lovely arrangements that kind of, like, weave two songs together. This isn't, like, a haphazard mashup. Like,
yeah.
The arrangement of melding John Lennon and Louis Armstrong is really lovely, and it's wonderfully done. And there's also a cool little historical context. When I was interviewing her, I asked her about this because she had met John and Yoko back in the 70s, mm-hmm. and she actually met them when she was doing a concert to raise money for Daniel Ellsberg, who is the Pentagon papers leaker. So he leaked the Pentagon papers, which definitively proved that the government had been lying. Well, more that the presidency had been lying to both the media and Congress about Vietnam. Daniel Ellsberg got sued for that, and he almost lost, but his legal fund ran out of money, but Streisand's benefit concert for him gave him enough money to continue the fight, which he eventually won.
Whoa.
So there's just a little historical note there. Here.
Yeah, interesting.
But yeah, what do you guys think of this very...
How do I even go after that? That was a lot.
This very tween-friendly pick that
It was just so clearly made for the youth of today. Yeah. I mean, the main thing that I want to talk about is how seamless she did put these two songs together. I really appreciated that. This is like an over 5 minute long track, I think. And so, yes, I, you know, sort of dozed off a little bit there. And then when I came to, I was like, oh, we switched songs. And it wasn't jarring. And then she flowed back into Imagine. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated that. Yes, like you said, there are so many covers of these two songs out there. She does do a great vocal performance. It was pleasant to listen to. I will stick with the originals.
Yeah, I can't do it with this one. Sorry. Much respect to the great Barbara Streisand icon, certainly, and much respect to these two songs and the historical moment that birthed them and apparently her own relationship to that moment. I can't listen to covers of these songs in any context ever again. And she does do a very good job, as you guys mentioned. The stitching together is very, very creative, very inspired. It's still these two songs, and she still ends it going, you know, imagine, just imagine. It's like
that I would have, yeah. If that was her producer, I would have clipped that part.
Can't.
I honestly don't even remember that part.
Lindsay had just, like, zoned out.
I was done.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that, you know, doing it in this medley fashion and having this sort of background story to it is about the best she could do with this kind of material. Mm-hmm. At this, you know, 50 years after the release of What a Wonderful World, but. Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I think the youth of today are going to
disagree. Yeah, the kids are going to disagree, certainly.
And they bring Barbara Streisand's Imagine What a Wonderful World mashup to number one.
Are already topping the Spotify charts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
No doubt.
She's Jingle Ball. She's going to hit Jingle Ball.
Man.
Anyways, all right. Well, let's listen to it. Barbara Streisand, Imagine / What a Wonderful World.
Imagine all the people living life in peace, with skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night.
All right, thank you for indulging me while we talked about Barbara Streisand.
You're very welcome. We had no choice.
I mean, that's it. That's true. You really didn't have a choice. Yeah. And I'll lower the knife now. You're free to leave. All right, Andrew, let's do one of your picks next. Sakima featuring RoboKid.
This gets a standing ovation.
Apps is Apps. The song.
Yes.
And let's just make it clear. Apps, this is not mozzarella sticks.
No, sir.
We're not talking about buffalo sliders.
Unfortunately not, no.
Very hungry.
These would be what, applications, I guess, is what it stands for.
Yes, yeah. On one's phone.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Pride editor Patrick Crawley, whose tip is responsible for me even hearing this song. This is a British singer-songwriter in his mid-20s, and we've done a bunch of things with him here at Billboard. He's a gay artist. He sings very explicitly about sex, and he does so using very pointed same-sex pronouns, which shouldn't even really be that notable in 2018, but it still kind of is, and he's talked about that a bunch with us and elsewhere. He's usually more of a singer of kind of R&B-flavored pop music, pop-flavored R&B, depending on how you look at it. But this song just stopped me in my tracks. It's very different from his other stuff that's out there. The beat's slowed down to this kind of grinding lurch. And instead of singing, he's doing more of like a, like not even really rapping. It's more like a sing-speak sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it reminded me a lot of like Tricky and Massive Attack in the 90s, these British trip-hop guys who... They rapped with this kind of like really disquieting calm, where it was like the pace of it was almost like uneasy, and the verses were very free associative, and it's sort of the same thing here, except this song has an absolute knockout refrain. If I'm the only bitch on your map, then why are you still using all these other apps?
So I love that
good.
Line.
So good, same. So good. But otherwise, it's kind of lyrically all over the place, but it's still very clever, and it's sort of like a dry wit to it. I think the song's awesome. I love it.
Me too. I cannot thank you enough for showing me the song. I don't think I would have found it otherwise. So, yes, hats off to you, as they say.
Sloths off to you.
No, I will not take the sloth off my arm. But I think this song is interesting. It's sort of like the first app angst track that I've ever really heard,
sure.
Which I can definitely see becoming more of a trend as we like sort of move away from apps are great into people being like, this actually sucks, or whatever it will be from there.
Yeah, and with the song, like, it makes them sound like absolutely terrifying, which I can relate to. Apps are terrifying.
Yeah, totally. So I don't know. I think this is cool just for that alone, but also, like you said, the sort of like brooding dark production I love. I love the line that you singled out. I don't know. I listened to this so many times when I came in here. I think it's great.
Yeah, no, I love this, and I'd listened because of Patrick again. Mm-hmm. I'd listened to his earlier stuff, and I really enjoyed it, and it was a big supporter. And this is a newer sound for Sakima, the like harsher industrial, synth sound to it.
Very industrial day for me here on Mustard.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of like what Sophie's doing right now, which is still probably one of my favorite albums of this year.
Yeah.
And the line that you singled out, if I'm the only bitch on your map, how come you got these other apps? It will be interesting to see what, like, relationship culturally wise, like,
totally.
People have with that. Like, at what point in a relationship is it's like, well, now we've been dating X amount of time, so you are forced to remove Grindr from your phone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or is that like too controlling to even like look at someone's phone and be like, you need to take this off because we're an item?
Yeah. No, there are so many layers to it. That's why I think it's fascinating, because there are a handful of tracks that talked about like dating apps and almost in a cute way. And this is just the total opposite of that, which I loved.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of like jealousy and paranoia, and I like that the music, the kind of like harshness of the music reflects that.
Yeah.
All right, we're agreed. 3 for 3.
We're agreed. 3 for 3.
Shout out to Sakima. Yeah.
All right, let's listen to it. It's Sakima featuring Robo Kid. Song's called Apps.
I'm the only bitch on your map. You gotta delete all those other apps. Shots, just snaps. No bait, just traps. No boys, just lads. No sex, just chats. No grinder, just acts. No fruits, just snacks. No front, just backs. No coke, just jack. No card, just cash. No songs, just chance. No future, just past. Nobody, just ass. No truth, just acts. No beepers, just sans.
I desperately would love a mozzarella stick.
Apps, yeah. Like a sampler platter
Yes,
sort
please.
Of situation. Yeah. Chimichurris, yeah.
Maybe you can do like a tour surrounding it, like a, you know, an apps for apps sort of tour.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I think we would all attend that one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nice. Good one.
Thank you.
All right. Next and last, we've got one of yours, Lindsay.
Yes.
So we have Thundercat, Bad Bad Not Good, and Flying Lotus teaming up for King of the Hill.
Yes. I hate the title of this track only because it makes me think of the animated show.
I don't know how
now
it
on
would
Hulu,
not a
apparently.
Fan of.
As of today, now on Hulu.
Anyway, I absolutely love the trio on this track. I think it's fantastic. Just a little background information. So the indie label Brainfeeder, which was founded by Flying Lotus, is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. So they're putting out a compilation album for that. I think it's going to be a 4-box set LP coming out November 16th. And this is one of the first few tracks that they've released from that. So, I don't know. I love Thundercat. I love Bad, Bad, Not Good. The fact that they're together just seems so obvious, but it doesn't sound as obvious when I'm listening to it. I'm not like, oh, they're just separately doing what they're good at, and then they put it together. I really feel like they collaborated on this, and I love a good bass line.
Gotta love a good bass line.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a, I mean, I've been pretty in on most things that Thundercat has done the last few years, especially when he's in that kind of like Michael McDonald mold, and obviously he's a known acolyte of Michael McDonald's, had him on one of the songs on Drunk, and this, yes, yeah, is sort of in that vein. It sounded almost like a Drake started from the bottom at the beginning. It's got that kind of 40-ish production twinkle, which I like. And yeah, I don't really have much else to say. It's a good harmonies, good groove, good song.
I think it's good. I like the kind of like, I actually prefer like the kind of wordless background vocals. There's like a Stevie Wonder in the 70s ethereal quality to it. Fantastic groove. I would say the lead vocal performance is like just fine for me.
That's
not
fair.
Yeah. As I say this while like my voice is like straining to even speak, it's not super strong. It could be a little bit better, but again, you know, this is not like an album track. This is like sort of a compilation,
an addition to a
compilation, one off sort of thing. But it's good, yeah. And King of the Hill, I mean, yeah, Hank,
yeah, what love a, that what show, a, propane and propane guy. Accessories,
propane,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I did not
yeah.
get behind that show.
What?
As someone who loves animated theater and television,
I gotta love Bobby though.
Not theatrical enough for you?
I don't. I think I need it to be more. Geared towards children to enjoy it.
All right.
It's an adult show, I suppose.
Yeah, anyway.
But yeah, it's good. So, you know.
Well, thanks.
I'm in on it.
Agreed on King of the Hill, the song. Split decision on King of the Hill TV show.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's listen to it. King of the Hill, the TV show, that is. We're going to play an entire season. Here it is. No, this is Thundercat, Bad, Bad, Not Good, and Flying Lotus. Song is called King of the Hill. All right, that was King of the Hill. Thank you for that choice, Lindsay.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, I know. I'm groaning at that, too.
You almost made it through a whole episode.
I couldn't make it. That's all we got for this one. I appreciate people tweeting in recommendations.
Yeah, that's been
fun. That was fun to do last week, so please tweet us some recommendations for new or newish songs.
Be sure to review Joe's voice on iTunes.
So we got a new review that didn't mention my voice, which I appreciate.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right. I heard this last week. You got five stars
trend.
For what was the description of Joe's voice?
Smooth.
It was likened to Carlos Santana.
Right. Oh, yes, wow. Yes.
Which
yes.
is funny.
Very nice.
And of course now I'm like sick and my voice sounds like death. But yeah. But yeah, even though I am sick, I'm gonna run a 5K tomorrow. So.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
For the
what
kids.
A hero I am. Yeah. For an educational nonprofit. Yeah. But yeah. That's all we got. Is there anything coming up that we're excited for? I'm trying to think.
The end of the year.
Yeah, it's end of year season.
End of the year, yeah. It's just a lot of like Christmas albums coming out at this point.
Yeah.
More importantly, year-end list season.
Year-end list season.
The most wonderful time of the year, according to
some. It really is, yeah. The most magical time of the year. Yeah, when families and extended families get together.
Just to beat those top tens.
Right.
Yeah,
to discuss if the Black Panther soundtrack was stronger than Sophie's album.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Easily.
Very odd comparison there.
Yeah, I don't know. That was very strange.
But yeah, we'll be doing a year-end podcast soon, I would think.
Don't you tell me when we're going to do that. No, I'm just
I
kidding.
I said I would
yeah.
think.
Yeah, we'll have that coming up at some point.
I will not be back, I guess.
The sloth will be asked back, but
it's
not
fine.
You. Anyways, well, Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Always Lizzie, a pleasure.
Thanks
Always
for coming
pleasure.
On.
No
and
problem.
Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.